Welcome to this week's podcast from Church on the Rock. We hope that it will challenge and inspire you to be a more passionate follower of Jesus. For more information about Church on the Rock, visit us at cotrcalera.com.
So I heard about this mother who was cooking breakfast for her two young boys. Ryan was 5 and Kevin was 3. And they began to argue over who was going to get the first pancake. So the mother saw it as a great teaching opportunity. And she said to the boys, she said, "Boys, if Jesus were here today, he would say, 'Let my brother have the first pancake.'" And so Ryan turned to his younger brother, Kevin, and said, "Okay, Kevin, you be Jesus." Oh, boy. So anyways, so there that is. So just a couple, you know, before I kind of get into, all of the Christmas stuff and everything, or before our message this morning, which we're going to be looking at the shepherds and some of that story there, I will tell you a couple things about Christmas, that there are currently 78 people that live in the United States with the name S. Claus. But there's only one person whose name is Kris Kringle, which is kind of weird. And you kind of wonder about that kid's, you know, that kid and his parents. So, the parents that would be so cruel to name, you know, their son Chris if they had the last name Kringle. Anyways, did you know that December is the most popular month for nose jobs? Just want to let you know. This is it. If you've been thinking about it, okay, December's, or maybe not, I don't know, maybe there's a wait list. I don't know. So the weight of Santa's sleigh loaded with one beanie baby for every kid on earth would be 333,333 tons. The number of reindeer to pull a sleigh weighing 333,333 tons would be 214,206 plus Rudolph. So just 207 there. If you can include. So the average wage of a mall Santa is $11 an hour, but if you have a real beard, it's 20. So if you've been thinking about that as a vocation, it's important you have a real beard. All right. To deliver his gifts in one night, Santa would have to make 822.6 visits per second. 822.6 visits. I don't really know, like, where do they come up with these? Like, how do they do the math on this? I'm just trying to figure out, like, this is how many houses and how much time they have. Anyways. So that would mean that he would have to slay at 3,000 times the speed of sound to accomplish this. At that speed, Santa and his reindeer would burst into flames instantaneously. So just FYI, I hope I haven't crushed anybody's dreams this morning. It's just, you know, anyway, some interesting stuff there. So what we've been doing lately, we've been talking about looking at kind of the Christmas story, and we've been showing some videos that kind of go along. I do want to let you know this, and I know this is really unfortunate for all of you, but last week I had multiple people come up to me after the service and was like, "Hey, what movie is that from that you're showing these video clips?" And I'm like, "Unfortunately, it's not a movie." And I had multiple people like, "I got to go home and watch that movie. It's got to be on Hallmark or something like this." Yeah, it's not a movie. It was clips made for a sermon series. That's all they are. So if you go looking or try to find the name of this, you're going to be inevitably disappointed. All right. So, but this week we're going to be looking at the story of the shepherds and when the angel showed up to them and spoke to them. So we're going to go ahead and play this video. All right. So this video talking, I don't know, you know, just like all the other videos that we've shown this Christmas season, obviously they're taking a lot of poetic justice upon themselves to interject, you know, conversations that may or may not have ever had. But it's not hard to assume that the emotions were there, that the questions were there, that at some point that the shepherds probably did question, like, what did we just see? Was this really real? Can you believe what happened? And, you know, so they're questioning all of this, what they had experienced. So what we're going to do is we're going to go back to Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8, to kind of remind ourselves about the story and what the Bible has to say about it and look at some of this stuff. So Luke chapter 2, verse 8, It says, in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. All right? And so here's that story that we read, and the angel showed up, and you know, something changed here in the shepherds' lives. And, you know, all of these things happen. These, you know, it's incredible to even think about this moment, to think about the moment that Jesus was born, that God entered into the world. And it was so impactful in a world that angels are appearing in the night sky to shepherds in a field, and they're declaring the greatness and the goodness of God because of that. And they bring this news that just kind of seems unbelievable, except, of course, that it's just happening, and we see all of that. And then, of course, we move on. In verse 15, it says, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it was told. All right. So one of the things that's interesting to point out in this story and you know, is that, you know, the angels really gave no instruction to these shepherds. I mean, they basically just told them some information. They just said, hey, tonight there's a baby that was born, and he's the Christ, and he's, you know, was born in Bethlehem, and you know what? You're going to find him in swaddling clothes in a manger. You notice, at least according to our records and what we have, you know, that's being told to us, the angels aren't like, hey, you know, he lives at, you know, 5325, you know, Smoky Road. You know, go there and you're going to find him. But go in the back because he's not in the inn, and he's going to be in the barn back there. They're just like, they get a city, and then they get Jesus is in swaddling clothes and in a manger. Now, the manger might be a little strange for a baby to be in, obviously. Swaddling clothes, I think, probably is maybe normal, unless, you know, it's not. I don't really know. But that's all the instruction that they get, and then these, you know, angels sing, and they do their thing, and they go away. But there's really no instructions here, you know, for the shepherds to do anything other than the fact that they just were given information. And so I'm going to point out, I want to look at, you know, three things here that we see from this story that the shepherds do as a result of their encounter with the angels, their encounter with God, however you want to, you know, include this. In some ways, you could say that, you know, the angels will only do what God tells them to do. So that this is the, you know, the voice of God to them. This is instruction by God, or God's given, impacting or encountering their life at some level. And it impacts them, and it changes the way that they live and the things that they do. And so the first thing that I want to point out here is that when God calls, listen up. Right, that we need to listen. When God calls, we need to listen. And in Luke 2:10, we just got in reading, and the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. And now, I don't know about you, but, you know, as a guy, I get accused of having selective hearing from time to time. Anybody? No? You're not willing to admit it in this setting. I understand that, okay? You can just, you know, wink at me, nod at me, just, you know, scratch your cheek, whatever. I don't care. But we get accused, and as growing up as a young boy, it happens. I cannot lie that there were probably times that my dad said, hey, take out the trash, and I probably didn't hear him or clean the room. But I can assure you that every time that they called and said pizza was on the table, I was coming down the stairs, okay? I just never missed that. So I'm not saying that there's evidence to support that, but I'm saying that it does seem like that there are times that I hear things and sometimes I don't hear things, and maybe I hear it and I'm just not listening, right? Because there's a big difference between hearing some kind of sound, but allowing that sound to be something that you hear, which causes you to do something, which is the difference between hearing, which is simply perceiving sound, and listening, which is paying attention to what it is that you're hearing, right, and responding to it. There's other times, even in the Bible, when Jesus, in Matthew chapter 9, where Jesus encounters Matthew, and it says here in Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew, who was sitting at the tax collector's booth. He says, "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. You know, Matthew's a tax collector. He's a traitor. He's an outcast within his own society. He's kind of turned on his own country. And here he is, Jesus, a rabbi, a teacher, somebody who, you know, at this point hasn't become as famous as he will later become, but I'm sure people were familiar with who he was in that region. And he comes up to Matthew and just says the simple words, "Follow me." And just like how the shepherds responded to the voice of the angels, Matthew responds to Jesus. And he responds in such a way that he gets up and follows him, and it changes his life. So, you know, he didn't, you know, get up and follow Jesus to a stable or anything like what the shepherds did, but he followed the one that was born in the stable. And this changed his life. And when he heard the voice of God, he listened. And because he listened, it changed him and it caused him and called him into action, just like these shepherds here as well. That they were called into action because they listened to the voice of the angel and the message from God. In John chapter 10, verse 27, the Bible tells us, Jesus actually tells us, he says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Okay? My sheep, all right, listen to my voice. And obviously, we understand that that word listen means more than just hearing the voice of God. It also means acting upon what God tells us to do. All right? The scripture tells us in Romans that those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. All right? That when we are led by God's Spirit, we are God's children. And that's what's different than look, Christianity is not about some religion or some belief in God or some belief in Jesus. It is about a relationship with the Father where we hear his voice, and we listen to his voice, and we respond to his voice. And that's the important key of our life and our relationship with God, that we do what God tells us to do. That we're not just hearers only, but we're doers. All right, that we're not just hearing the word constantly, but we're doing it over and over and over again. I remember hearing somebody, I can't remember the context, it just kind of come up to me at the last second here, but I remember telling this story one time, and it was about this preacher who he used to preach, you know, worldwide. And one of the times he was preaching in America at a conference, and he was sharing, he says, "You know, one of my experiences between the difference between preaching in another country and preaching in America is that every time I come into America and I preach and I go to a conference and preach, after it's over, you know, I have people that will come up to me and they'll be like, 'Hey, like, is that message going to be on podcast? Because I can't wait to listen to that again. I just can't wait to listen to it again.'" And he says, "But then when I go to other countries and preach, I have people come up to me like, 'Hey, man, thank you for that message. I can't wait to go do what you said.'" And the difference is always that in America, people want to hear it over and over and over again. Like somehow hearing it again should impact you more than hearing it the first time. When in other countries, it's like people can't wait to just do what it is that we've talked about. And there's a big difference between always hearing and hearing, hearing and doing. Which kind of gets us to the next point here, is that when God calls, saddle up. All right? Saddle up. All right? That may sound like something that comes from some Western movie from a long time ago. Now, I don't know about you guys. I grew up in the 90s, and there was a group that sing that song, "Saddle Up Your Horses." You remember anybody? "Saddle up your horses. We got a trail to blaze." Whoa! See, this is the reason why I'm not on the worship team. Okay? Say amen, brother, right? So, I don't know, it probably would be more contemporary if I said, buckle up, you know. You've seen the athletes in football, they make some good play, and they're like, you know, or this way. I can't remember which way it is. I guess it depends on what seat you're sitting in, right? You know, it's a driver's seat. It's this way. So we want to buckle up, or we want to saddle up. When God calls, saddle up. The imagery is simple, and it's time to do something. It's time to go, all right? And that's exactly what the shepherds did when following that story. There in Luke chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, it says, "And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste." All right, if you look in the story, the angels don't even tell them to go. Like, they're saying, "Hey, you will find the baby here," but they're like, "Hey, go to Bethlehem and do it fast." No, it's like they get the information and they take it upon themselves, okay, to go with haste, to move and go. All right, and in Luke 2:12, going, it says, "And this will be a sign for you: you will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger." And like I was saying, nowhere are they told to go now or to go tonight or to hurry up. You know, they took it upon themselves. They didn't wait for morning. They didn't wait for breakfast. They didn't wait to call an Uber or whatever it is that they, you know, they just, the angel told them what they would find. Kind of in the spirit of an old Western movie, they just saddled up and they went. And, you know, we find, you know, another example of that in Scripture. And of course, there's lots of examples of that, but another one is found in Acts chapter 9, verse 10, where God shows up to a guy named Ananias. And he says, it says, "Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, 'Ananias.' And he said, 'Here I am, Lord.' And the Lord said to him, 'Arise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying.'" And then in verse 17, it says, "Then Ananias went to the house and entered it." This is the beginning of count of Paul's journey. We know him as more often as Paul, but it's Saul, his name was Saul then. One of the things that we leave out is between verses like 11 and 17, you know, Ananias didn't want to go. You know, he was like, hold on. Paul is a bad dude, and he's killing all kinds of Christians, and are you sure that this is the guy you want me to go see? And so, you know, Ananias had his reservations. But at the end of the day, Ananias trusted God. And God said, "Yeah, this is the guy that I want you to go see, and I want you to go." And so what did Ananias do? He went. He went, and he did what God told him to do. And because of his obedience, it was the beginning of Paul's life and missions. And that one act of obedience by Ananias, look, Ananias wasn't the one that changed the world. Jesus obviously changed the world, but Paul through Christ. But Paul, I mean, we know the impact that he made. But it all began with one act of obedience by Ananias. And you never know when God tells you to do something if it's going to be the catalyst to bring change to somebody else's life. And that person may be the catalyst to bring change to a region, a society, a city, a state, a nation. You never know. I mean, somebody had to reach Billy Graham. You ever think about who's the person that reached Billy Graham? Who's the person that reached, David Brainerd and David Livingston and George Whitfield and all these evangelists that have lived on before our time that have brought and ushered in revival? Who are the people? Nobody knows those names. But I'm sure somewhere along the way it started with one act of obedience to God. That when God tells you to do something, you obey. And you go with haste. And you do what God tells you to do. All right? And so he goes, and the shepherds teach us here that there's no need to hesitate when God calls, all right? And so we want to do the same thing. We want to obey God, listen and obey God, because you never know what kind of life change will happen as a result of it. And third, finally, that when God calls, we want to speak up, all right? We want to speak up. And so in Luke chapter 2, verse 17, it says, "When they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. You see, these faithful shepherds didn't stop simply at hurrying to see the thing that that had happened. Having seen what had happened, they were compelled to speak up, to tell the story of a baby Messiah, a story seemingly unbelievable, yet when they told the story, the Bible tells us that upon hearing it, people were amazed. In Acts chapter 6 and 7, there's an account of another one who was faithful to tell the story of this Messiah, not only of a baby, but of a recent crucified and resurrected adult Jesus. The follower's name was Stephen. And instead of Stephen's hearers being amazed, they chose a different reaction. And here is Stephen's last recorded words in Acts chapter 7, verse 59. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. You see, Stephen would speak up even with his last breath. His last words on earth were words of forgiveness. All right? And he's crying out this message of forgiveness, which was very, very similar to Jesus's on the cross. Then when Jesus was on the cross, one of his last words was, "Father, forgive them." Right? And here, you know, Stephen has the same message that Jesus has, and he speaks up. We see the story about the shepherds, and they are, they encounter these angels. It causes them to listen to what God's saying. Them listening causes them to move into action. And in moving into action, their life becomes changed because they find this, you know, everything that the angels told them, they went and they found. Which, again, it's, you know, we talked about this a couple weeks ago with the shepherds. One of the prevailing messages here in the Christmas story is the simple message that if you seek God, you will find him. It's not a maybe. It's not a might. The Bible tells us if you draw near to God, God will draw near to you. If you seek him, you will find him. But you have to be the one to seek him. The wise men had to make a choice to go find Jesus. The shepherds had to make a choice to go find Jesus. And what they found was everything that the angels told them that they would find. When we seek Jesus and we go after God, we will find everything that the Word of God tells us we will find in Jesus. We will find hope. We will find peace. We will find love. We will find eternity. We will find heaven. We will find all the goodness of God. When we seek him, we will find him. And these disciples had to choose to go after Jesus. These shepherds had to choose to go after Jesus, to find him. And in following the voices of these angels, they found everything that they were told they would find, and it changed their lives. And it changed their lives to such a degree that they could not help anymore but speak up about what they had seen. Kind of reminds me of the story of Isaiah when he says that I tried to keep from talking about the goodness of God, but I could not because it was like fire shut up in my bones that I had to speak out. It's the same story we hear with these shepherds, that they could not hold it in anymore, that they had to speak of the goodness of God, that they had to say something. And every person that ever encountered Jesus throughout the Gospels and the New Testament, we find the same thing, is that when they encounter God in a real way, it compels them to speak up. It compels them to say something, right? And so here, these faithful shepherds in Luke chapter 2, verse 20, it says that the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. That they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Everything that they were told was exactly the way that it was. All right? Which only confirmed their encounter with the angels. And the response of the shepherds here at the end of their journey was that they were to glorify and praise God for what they had heard, what they had seen, and what they were told. All right. And look, the truth be known is that, the shepherds never changed their vocation. It's not like all of a sudden now they're missionaries and they're going to go across the world being, a missionary in another country. They never changed. The Bible just tells us that they returned back to their field and they went back to being shepherds. But now they were different because they had encountered Jesus. And that's the way it works with us. Listen, we don't have to change our vocation to make an impact in the kingdom of God. You don't have to change what you're doing in your life. You don't have to change jobs, change cities, any of those kinds of things. All you need to do is just say, like, you know what? I've encountered Jesus, and it's changed my life, and now I'm going to go tell the world. I'm going to tell the world. We find in Timothy, the Apostle Paul tells us that we're to be sober-minded, we're to be alert, and he goes on, he says, we're to do the work of an evangelist. To do the work of an evangelist. He's talking to all disciples. That we're all called to do the work of an evangelist. All of us, not just the pastors in the church, not just somebody who is in the office of an evangelist in the church or in the kingdom of God, but we're all called to do the work of an evangelist. Right? And the word evangelist comes from the Greek word that simply means to tell the good news. That's what it means. That when we are an evangelist and we obey God or follow God in this area, it just means to tell the good news. Right? And that's what the shepherds did after meeting Jesus. And it's what we're all to do after having met Jesus. To tell our story, to tell his story. About his love and his greatness and his goodness to all, listen, to all mankind. Remember the message from the angels, right, that we just got done reading there in the passage there? He says that I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people, not just some, but for all people. This message of Jesus was good news that brings every person great joy when we receive it. And so my prayer to you in this Christmas season is that you will listen to his voice, that you will listen to his voice. Listen to him. When God speaks, listen. That you'll go where he leads, whatever God tells you to do, okay? Whatever God tells you to do, just go. Go and go with haste, all right? We just all need to be a bunch of people with squirt guns going into hell saying, let's take this thing down, baby. Okay? Go with haste. And then share the good news about our Messiah, Jesus, wherever you go. Amen? You stand to your feet this morning. Hallelujah. Come on, let's just close our eyes here. And I can get some of our prayer team to come down the front. We're going to close and worship here this morning. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, look, I'm going to tell you right now, it's the best decision that you could ever make in your life is to make Jesus your Lord and Savior. The best thing you could ever do. And today you have an opportunity to do that if you want to. Maybe you're here today and, you just say, hey, you know what, I want to listen better. I want to be more obedient. I want to go when God tells me to go. I need the courage to speak up more about my faith and about the goodness of God. Or maybe you're here today and you just need prayer. You've had a bad week, a bad morning. Maybe you're sick and you need somebody to agree with you in prayer. We want to pray for you. Whatever it is this morning, we want to pray for you. So we're all going to worship together as we close the service like we normally do. And if you would like prayer for anything, I would encourage you to come down. Let us pray with you. We got two people over here that will to touch heaven with you. If there's 50 people that come down here, we'll pray for all of you. It doesn't matter. We'll believe God together. Okay, we'll touch heaven together. But let's just worship God together if we can, and let's just honor Him this morning.